different people have different fears. For example, had we asked the children tonight, I would suggest many children don't like darkness. They have a fear of darkness. Many children like to have the light on when they're going to bed. For example, Pamela, she's afraid of spiders. Bring your spider and she'll be afraid of that. Or as for big 6 foot Brian, well, bring him a mouse and he'll be afraid. Yes, there are things in life that we are afraid of. Perhaps like some men, you're afraid of your mother-in-law. But as we read through the scriptures, do not fear is probably the single most common command in the Bible. The Bible tells us to shake off fear about 100 times, and it gives us a reason almost every time. Of course, the Bible also commends proper fear of God on many occasions, and we dare not ever enter into his presence in a flippant manner. It's so encouraging that within this passage that we read earlier, not once or twice, but three times, the Lord Jesus says, do not be afraid. Verse 26, verse 28, verse 31, Jesus says, do not be afraid. And each time, he clearly states a reason why we ought not to fear. Just to kind of set this in context, earlier in this chapter, Jesus had told his disciples about various troubles that would come their way. And no doubt as the disciples listened, no doubt that would have caused fear. You must remember the Lord Jesus never promised an easy life for his disciples. And Mark was reminding us of that last Sunday evening down in First. He reminded us that we as God's people, that we are sheep among wolves. In verses 17 and 18, Jesus had warned his disciples to be on their guards against those men who would betray them to councils, governors, and kings. And surely as the disciples listened to that, they would have been afraid. In verses 19 to 22, Jesus also warned his disciples that all kinds of people would reject their message and ultimately would hate them because they were the messenger. Family members may betray them. They may even face death. And with such news coming to them, it surely was understandable if they felt afraid. But of course, what was true for disciples back in Jesus' day is equally true for us in 2017. Following the Lord Jesus is never the easy option. In school, in university, the workplace, out into the local community, Christians are in the minority. Unbelievers can try to make life difficult for Christians, and that sense of fear and dread can easily come upon us. But surely the overarching message from this passage of Scripture is that Jesus puts our fears into perspective. He was telling his disciples, and now he's telling us that if you're going to suffer, it might as well be for something and for someone who's important. Jesus reminds us that the cause is important. The sharing of the gospel message, it should be a priority in all of our lives. It's something of great importance. And indeed, we could say that there's no greater cause in the whole world. That's the something. But then there is the someone, and the Lord Jesus is surely someone worth suffering for. He's worthy of any suffering that we might endure here on earth. And it's wonderful to remember that even if we're suffering, he promises to be with us. Remember that promise, that beautiful promise where he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So holding that in background, let's carefully examine the passage before us, and hopefully we'll learn three lessons and three reasons why we should not fear. The first reason why we should not fear is that truth will emerge and triumph. The truth will emerge and triumph. And over these past couple of months, if you're following the news on any particular day here in Northern Ireland, it's been dominated by the renewable heat incentive scheme. Glad to say as a church we don't have one of those boilers. I just thought I would put that out there. But of course, if you listen to the news, as you watch the television, claims and counterclaims have been made. And ultimately that has led to fresh elections on the 2nd of March. And this is neither the time nor place to talk about politics, but surely someday the truth and the whole truth about the RHI scheme will emerge, and those who have told the truth will triumph, and those who have told lies will be discredited. And here in this Bible passage, Jesus is saying that everything that is hidden will become public someday. Listen to these amazing words in verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. And here the Lord Jesus is saying, don't be afraid, because this means glory for his messengers and judgment for their persecutors. With the dawning of social media, everything we say can become public. In our churches, all our services, they're online. People can go on and listen to those. Of course, when Pastor James McConnell preached in his own church about Muslims, his sermon also became public and snippets were taken out of context. When you send someone an email, a text, put a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Snapchat, then with another little click, your comments or thoughts can become public. And so caution should be exercised with all social media. However, on that final day, everything will become public. No misdeed will remain hidden. Gossip and slander will be made known. All secrets will become public. Publicity is a blessing for all that is good and true, but there are always those schemers and evildoers who love darkness. And if you know and love the Lord, then I say to you that at all costs, you must tell the truth at all times. If you're truly born again of the Spirit of God, then you should never be afraid of telling the truth. That could be said of Hugh Latimer, who was one of the leaders of the Reformation. And on one occasion, Latimer had the daunting privilege of preaching before King Henry VIII. And Henry was known for his violence. And as Latimer stood in the pulpit, and there he could see the king, he was about to say something that he felt the king would dislike. And for a moment, standing in the pulpit, he spoke audibly to himself and said, "Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. The king is here." And then he paused and he reflected on what he had said. And then he spoke again. "Latimer, Latimer, be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here." John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, perhaps known for that great phrase, "Give me Scotland or I die." He was renowned for his boldness for speaking the truth. And when he died, it was said of Knox, "Here lies one who feared God so much that he never feared the face of any man." Oh, the knowledge that one day the truth will emerge and the truth will triumph. It ought to be a great source of boldness to William, to Mark, to Ian, myself, and others who preach the gospel. But equally, this knowledge should encourage every believer here tonight. Let me say, well, I never preach. Let this be an encouragement to you. Let this spur you on in your boldness for the Master. If Jesus says it, even in a whisper, we should shout it from the rooftops. Men and women, young people, let's not be afraid of speaking the truth. Let's not hold back from sharing the good news of the gospel, whether that's at school, whether that's at university, whether that's in the workplace. Don't hold back from the truth, but lovingly, graciously share that with others in this needy world in which we live in. But let's move on to verse 28. And there we consider the second thing we ought not to be afraid of. And that's the fact that God's power will triumph over death. Let me read verse 28 again. "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." During World War II, Adolf Hitler led a wicked and evil campaign, and his desire was to obliterate the Jewish nation. However, not all Germans thought as Hitler thought. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who had tremendous courage, and he spoke against Hitler's awful regime. Bonhoeffer helped Jews to escape, but eventually he was arrested. Eventually he was jailed. Eventually this pastor was executed. And from his prison cell, he wrote these challenging words: "Those who are still afraid of men have no fear of God. And those who have fear of God have ceased to be afraid of men." Bonhoeffer had the right perspective on life, and he surely realized that through God's power, that one day he too would triumph over death. In verse 28, Jesus had said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And when we first read those words, well, it can almost sound like a poor consolation prize, because most right-minded people would be afraid if someone was pointing a gun to their head. However, the Lord Jesus is reminding us that everyone who trusts in him one day will be raised to eternal life with him. You see, if this week, if some madman took my life, my family would be devastated. Well, I hope they would be anyway. My earthly work, my ministry would be over. But actually, in the final analysis, it would mean that I would be with God quicker than I had ever thought, and I would be with him forevermore. Well, I have no desire to die just yet, but should that happen, I have absolutely no fear where my eternal destination will be. And so I say to you tonight, if you know and love the Lord Jesus, let this be an encouragement to you. One day, through God's power, you will also triumph over death. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verses 35 and following. We read these tremendous words: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then listen carefully. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Absolutely nothing, my friends, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for those who are followers of Jesus tonight, this is our confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in a congregation or a denomination, but our confidence is in Christ and in the precious word of God. Absolutely nothing can separate the child of God from his amazing love. And through him, our eternal destiny is completely secure. And so tonight, if you know and you love the Lord, then with a sense of anticipation, you can look forward to that day when, through the wonderful grace of God, that you too will triumph over death. However, I need to be faithful to God's word, because not everyone will triumph over death. And if you're not saved tonight, then I tell you that your soul is in great danger. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Be afraid. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And the one in this verse, well, speaking about God. And I want to make it absolutely clear that the word destroy does not mean annihilation, as some would have us believe. When you die, what happens to your body? Well, your body isn't annihilated. This outer shell will be buried, it will decay, and it will perish in the grave. And likewise, at the moment of death, your soul isn't annihilated. It's not wiped out. And so I warn you that if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will. It's a definite here. You will experience eternal punishment. Hell. It's an awful place. And it will be a place of endless torment. And so I urge you tonight, if you haven't closed in with God's offer of grace and mercy, that you flee to him tonight and you flee from the wrath that is to come. So this evening, God's word is teaching us not to fear. Already we have noted we should not fear, because the truth will emerge and triumph, and also God's power will triumph over death. But there's a third reason why we should not fear, and that is that the Father knows and cares. The Father knows and cares. Verses 29 to 31, the Lord Jesus reminds us that God cares for small and insignificant things. Listen to what he said. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." It's mind-blowing that God watches over all of his creation. It's mind-blowing to think that God knows when a sparrow A little insignificant bird, he knows about that when it falls to the ground. And our lives are much more precious to God than a sparrow's life. And those verses speak of God's providential care over each of us. You see, if Almighty God knows and cares for sparrows, then with great confidence, we can say that he knows, that he cares for us. We're reminded that God knows all about us. We were sharing that with the children in the children's address. And Jesus says that God even numbers the hairs on our heads. Experts who have much more time than I must have say that humans typically have between 100,000 and 500,000 hairs on their heads. So if you have a child and they want to start counting tonight, you might be at it for a little while. As men get older, some lose hair on their heads. But interestingly, as men get older, they gain extra hairs in their nose, in their ears, their eyebrows. We just don't want them or need them, but they appear anyway. However, all of this is pointing to one thing. It's pointing to the fact that God knows all about us and he cares for us. Perhaps as you came through the doors of this meeting house tonight, the reality of your life is that you're engulfed with worry, concerns. The reality is that you are afraid. Maybe no one else knows about your situation, but God knows. He knows all about that, and he says, "My child, I know about your situation." It could be that you have a hospital appointment, and it's looming large before you, and you're dreading going to that appointment because you're going to receive results, and you just don't want to know about it. Or maybe in recent times you've discovered a lump, and you fear the worst, but you haven't gone to see about it. You haven't told anyone about it. You're just engulfed with fear. Perhaps tonight it's the fact that you're afraid about a loved one. You see them getting frailer, and you're really concerned about where this could be leading. Unfortunately, because of this sinful and broken world, we all experience difficult and trying times in life. The truth is that things happen in all of our lives which we would wish that they wouldn't happen. And yet when those difficult times come, and they come to us all, it's surely a great comfort to remember that God knows. And more than that, God cares. So whatever fear you have tonight, whatever you're afraid of for the days ahead, will you bring those to the Lord? In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we read these lovely words. Cast all your cares or your anxieties or troubles or fears on him, because he cares for you. And the Greek in that casting, it's the same as when the disciples were going into Jerusalem and they were casting all the palm branches and the cloaks on the ground. It's the same idea. We've got to cast it down. And of course, as Jesus was going into Jerusalem, what happened? They cast them down and they left them there. And is it not true that so often in our lives, we cast it down, we pray about it, and then a minute or two later, we gather it back up again and start worrying all over again? May we really learn to to cast it all on the Lord and leave it there. Yes, the Lord Jesus gave his disciples three reasons why they should not fear. And then he rounds off this section by saying that if they are fearless, if they truly do not fear, then they will confess Jesus before others, and then he will confess them before the Father. Listen carefully to verses 32 and 3. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Proverbs 29 and 25 we read, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. It's the fear of man that often keeps believers silent in their witness. Young person, what would they think of me in school? Or what would they think of me at university? Or what would they think of me at the workplace if I shared that I was a Christian? I guarantee you won't gain any popularity points. But let us be bold for our Lord and Master, and let us freely acknowledge him before others. Do not fear what others will think. Because if God knows and God cares for sparrows, if God knows about the hairs on your head, he will certainly care for you when you're bold enough to step out and witness for him. Jesus says, fear no man, but do fear God who can deliver or condemn. I conclude with the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess that you're saved. In the week which lies before each one of us, may we look for opportunities to share our faith. We're so good at talking about the weather in this part of the world. We're so good at talking about sport. We're so good at talking about all sorts of things. But may we look for opportunities to speak of Jesus. Let us not be afraid, but gladly share the glorious gospel with others. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen.